The story of the Nativity. Think you know it? If I asked you to tell it, you'd probably blow it. A detail wrong here, a missed part there, the Bible's writers would tear out their hair. Because no detail in this story goes to waste. Everything's carefully included in this tale of grace. But Sunday school, when we were young, school Christmas plays ad infinitum, didn't necessarily get things spot on. And now, please don't get me wrong, I'm usually in favour of creative license, but this story is a special instance. So I might add bits, but I won't change anything, because this story is about the birth of the King of Kings. And everyone needs to take part in this. So when I say Christmas, please reply, it's about Jesus. Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
So where shall we start? There are so many beginnings in this story, if we include all the trimmings, but starting when God created the earth is probably too far back to get to the birth of Jesus before the end of the day. So we'll start with a visit an angel made, or paid even, to a teenager called Mary.
So, all Marys, come and stand in the aisle, if you please. And look like you're busy. Sweeping the floor, baking bread, or cleaning the door. That's great. And everyone else, don't relax, because we're nearly at Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
So, all our Marys are busy with everyday jobs, not expecting a visit from a heavenly bod. But if our angels can come now to the centre and each pick a Mary, you're going to scare her. So, after three, all the angels say boo, and all the Marys will freeze and say, who are you? Ready? One, two, three, boo!
The angel Gabriel said to Mary, don't be afraid. God says that you're a brilliant maid. And though you're no one's wife just now, in 9 months' time or thereabouts, you'll have a baby boy, God's son. But, said Mary, I'm not married to anyone. Oh, don't worry about that, the angel said. God can do miracles, and you will be wed to that Joseph, the builder you're engaged to. God will sort it all out. Don't get in a stew. For years to come, people will celebrate your baby. So don't get in a state, because they'll remember all this at Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
So Mary agreed to do what God wanted and shook the angel's hand before they parted. So Mary's and angels, go find your chair and we'll all stand to sing a carol when you're there.
So Mary began to get bigger and bigger. And while local people talked and sniggered, and Joseph wondered how to react, knowing the baby wasn't his, is a fact.
So, let's have the Josephs up to the front.
You got any
Josephs?
Yes. Good man.
As he thinks what to do about his engagement. And just to make sure the rest aren't rebellious, remember, it's nearly Christmas!
It's about Jesus!
Very good. I'm glad that you're still awake. Now, Josephs, here's some faces to make. First, Joseph didn't believe the rumour that he heard from the local butcher. He shook his head and said, after me, no way!
No way.
I'm believing what you've said today. Then, when he started to believe his eyes, Joseph looked very, very surprised. Then, when he realized he wasn't the dad, his face showed everyone that he was mad. But Joseph really loved Mary. Can you all make a lovely face for us to see? And he decided to break it off quietly and not to go ahead and marry Mary.
But then one night, Joseph settled down to sleep and had the most amazing dream. Let's have the angels back up here. And even in dreams... And even in dreams, angels say, do not fear. The dream angels said to our man, don't worry. Don't God has a plan. Mary hasn't been seeing someone new. She's still very much in love with you. Go ahead and marry her just like you planned. And with that, the dream angels ran. Joseph woke up and did as he was told, bringing Mary back in from the cold. Let's get the Marys to pick a Joseph each and maybe and maybe give him a peck on the cheek. Not necessary. Not long to go now until Christmas.
It's about Jesus. It was being announced by loud voices all over town that Roman Emperor Caesar said all must go down to the towns where their family originally came from, a massive census with all forced to sign on. Now, in most cases, women didn't need to go, as their husbands or fathers could sign for them, so Mary could have stayed at home, feet up, while Joseph travelled and tried his luck to find a bed in his hometown. But that would have made the prophet Micah frown, because he had written centuries ago that the Messiah, Jesus, would be born on the road, away from their home in Bethlehem, which actually means house of bread. Anyway, I'm getting off the story now, and you'll all be ready to be loud. So Mary's and Joseph's will make their way round to Bethlehem as we sing with voices unbound. And do we have any donkeys with us today? You know, the Bible doesn't actually say that Mary rode on a donkey. More likely that the donkey carried their bags and she walked. But if you've come along as a donkey, now's the time to come up and help with their journey.
You can be a donkey.
You're doing a little donkey.
Yeah.
No. Now, the distance from Nazareth to Bethlehem is quite enough to exhaust anyone. And even if Mary was in the peak of fitness, it's an 80-mile walk, a week at best, but she was nearly ready to have her babe. So it probably took them nearer 10 days. And what do you do when you go back to your hometown? Do you pack everything? You possibly need for your stay, or do you let folks know you're on the way? Joseph would quite rightly have expected a bed for him and Mary, where his family laid their head. The problem was, all the guest rooms were full up before the slow coaches, these two, arrived in the town. What got written as inn in many of our Bibles is a bit misleading. And stables aren't like sheds out the back. They're not a tumble-down old shack. But the animals lived inside the house. On the ground floor, there were cows and donkeys and maybe a goat or two, while the people lived upstairs, away from the zoo. Hotels didn't exist in first century Palestine. No one ever sent you to room number 9. Joseph probably went from house to house, asking if there's a space for two of us, because it's nearly Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
There was no Holiday Inn or Travel Lodge there. Joseph was looking for a relative's house to share. Now, if we have innkeepers present among us, please spread yourselves out along between us. As we sing this song, please feel free to sing along. And one at a time, the Josephs can come up to ask an innkeeper if they are all full up. And the last one, whoever that may be, will seal with a handshake when he gets lucky.
Don't get too comfortable this time, as it won't be so long before my rhyme gives way once again to carol or song. And remember, it's nearly Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
So let's have the Marys and Josephs here in the barn for the most important part of our yarn, right there where the animals usually were. The Son of God's arrival did occur. Among the mess and the mud, all of the dung and the dust that accompanies life in this world with us. No midwives appear in the Bible story, but you can bet your bottom dollar it was gory. Just like any other human birth on this planet we call home, the Earth. Being a midwife wasn't really a job in the first century, Palestine, that the women of Joseph's family would have rallied round at the time of need. It's properly Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
Then after Jesus had a good cry and a feed, the next thing this little boy would need was somewhere soft and safe to sleep. So Mary looked around the heaps of straw and put some in the feeding trough, which turned out to be good enough. The nativity story zooms right out next to take in the shepherds, not at their best, trying to get through the night, who are about to get an enormous fright. Bless Jesus. Song.
Yeah. We song.
Song.
We need some percussion for this song, if anyone would like to help us with joining in with some percussion. So to recap, the nativity story zooms right out next to take in shepherds, not at their best, trying to get through the night, who are about to get an enormous fright. So any shepherds who are here today, please can you gather at the back that way and make yourselves comfortable on the ground around the fire, some of you sleeping sound.
Others of you might count the sheep to make sure none have taken a leap off the hillside, or got otherwise lost, because every lost sheep to you will cost. Nothing much happens during the night shift. It's usually a good time to catch up on kit. Now, shepherds weren't considered holy men in those days because they couldn't get to worship at the temple or synagogue due to always working on the Sabbath. So they couldn't usually worship with anyone else. But on that night, worship came to them. We're going to need our angels again. Please come up and stand over there. to say boo to the shepherds and give them a scare. One, two, three, boo! The shepherds were completely petrified. They hugged each other, shook, and cried. But the angel said to them, "Don't worry, but I would advise you to hurry to the town where you will find the baby Messiah who will save mankind. And if you need some proof of this, you'll find the baby where ox food normally is." Then suddenly the whole sky was full up of angels singing glory to God. And we'll all stand for our next carol together because it's Christmas!
It's about Jesus!
Angels disappeared. The shepherds jumped up and left the sheep there, the whole flock, to rush off to find the newborn king. Using the angel's clue about where he was lying, the shepherds arrived where the family were, tiptoeing in so as not to cause a stir. And they just knew there was something special about the boy, so they hushed their babble and knelt silently by the manger there. Before telling the story of what led them here, Joseph and Mary were totally amazed by their story, which some might have said was crazed, but they were getting used to surprises from God, so they listened and remembered the whole lot. The shepherds had come because it's Christmas.
It's about Jesus.
Now, Mary's and Joseph's and shepherds can sit because the next part of the story is set a very long way away in lands to the east, where wise ones study the stars down to the least little change or movement, which they thought to show up there in the sky what was happening on earth below. So, let's have any wise men or women up here to consult the stars with telescopes and compare them with their maps and charts.
Ones with crowns.
And if we have anyone who is Thomas's star this morning, please, can you go over there? There? To shine above the town of Bethlehem. The star appeared when Jesus was born, and the wise ones spotted it, shining out. They said, after me, what is this that we see?
What is this?
The new star was shining so brilliantly.
What should they do, this group so clever? They talked and got their heads together. Let's follow the star, they decided, as one, as it must mean a royal baby has come. They set off on their adventure, not knowing where or when it would end. By far the longest journey in this tale, across desert, mountain, stream and dale. And such a long way it was, no doubt, that because the star appeared when Jesus popped out, it was likely to be at least a year on when these guys arrived. But it's time for a song. So as we sing, please can the stars lead these wise ones all around and afar. Because it's Christmas.
It's all about Jesus.
Thank you, sir. For Jesus, have I.
Now, I'm hoping in the room we have a king who goes by the name of Herod. Anybody? Anybody? No? I'm thinking he should come up here and sit on this big blue throne for a bit as we continue to tell the story. The wise men didn't go at first to Bethlehem because the star wasn't that precise. And now our story gets less nice. King Herod is a nasty sort of man who does everything that he possibly can to keep himself in the seat of power. The wise men, not wanting to scour the whole country for this new king, went straight to Herod's palace, logically. When they turned up at his place, he put on his very nicest face. He shook their hands and welcomed them all and listened to their story enthralled. Then he left them, eating and drinking, as he did not like what he was hearing. He called together his cleverest folk to ask them what the prophets had spoken about where the Messiah was to be born. In Bethlehem, they said, in a new dawn. Herod was scared of losing his throne to a new king he didn't even know.
So he went back to the wise men with a smile and told them where to find the child, and also asked them, by the by, to let him know where he also the boy could spy. King Herod, you can sit down for a while the wise men find the child. King Herod is really not very Christmas.
It's all about Jesus.
The wise men went to Bethlehem, Jesus finding. The boy by now was probably walking. But Joseph and Mary had stayed in the town until he was big enough to travel back to Nazareth, where he would grow up and live. But I skip ahead. I always do this. Let's have one star. Yes, you'll do well. To show the kings where the family dwell. Wise men arrived, properly following the star, until it stops where the family are.
So, let's have our Marys making the bed. And Joseph's sawing wood for a shed. Here come the wise ones, knocking at the door. Not what Joseph expected at all. He invited them in, and then they saw the child they travelled all this way for. They present him with gifts, not the usual kind, no teddies or woolly hats lined with soft fur, but gold and frankincense and myrrh. Three gifts, yes. But not necessarily three wise men. Now don't get cross with me, but there might have been more or fewer of these rich travelling astrologers. Gold for a king, incense for a god, but myrrh is the sad gift of the lot. Pointing ahead to the Easter story, which is also in places really quite gory. They left their gifts and had a nap before they were due to set off back to tell Herod where to find the boy. But, warned in a dream about Herod's ploy, they went back east, a different road. And can we have Herod up here once more? While you guys go back to your seats for the ending to be revealed. It's Christmas!
It's Jesus!
When Herod found out that the men had gone back home a different way, he got really steaming mad and said, I would have ensured that king was dead, but as I don't know where he is, I have no choice but to improvise. He calculated when the wise men said the star had appeared, which had led them to his land, and he worked out he could leave no room for doubt. So Herod sent every single soldier to find the boys who were two or younger, and sad to say, all of them died in one horrible night in ancient times. Now we are all like a happy ending to create a viral tweet that's trending. The good news is that Joe was told in a dream what would happen and that he should leave with Mary and Jesus off to Egypt, so says our Bible manuscript. And for now, we'll leave it there, a happy ending we can all share. So as you tuck into your Christmas lunch, remember that Christmas...
It's all about Jesus.
So thank you to one.
And thank you to all.
For making this nativity a ball.
And just to mess with your heads further...
Jesus was probably born in September.
So please come back for the Easter sequel. But now let's stand to sing our final carol. After that, refreshments are served in the hall. So happy Christmas, one and all.
Well, thank you very much to everybody who took part in that, especially to our wonderful narrators. And to Tina, who came up with that script. She didn't write it, but she found it and has put this together. So, really good. One slight amendment should be that we're not going straight to our last carol. We're going to now share communion. Now, this is a strange thing to do, communion, in a carol service. Interesting word, participate, because when the New Testament was translated, some of the words in it are quite difficult to translate. And one of them is a word called koinonia. Now, that can be translated communion. It can be translated fellowship. It can be translated sharing. It can be translated partnership. And sometimes it's even translated participation. Isn't that good? That this word, koinonia, communion, means participating. And when we come to communion, we can all take part if we love Jesus. That's the only qualification, and you want to know him more. Maybe you can only know him a little bit, and you want to know him more and to love him more. That's fine. Doesn't matter whether you're a regular churchgoer or a member of this church. That's not important. What matters is your heart and whether you want to take part. So we're going to conclude our service today with a simple kind of communion. Everybody is welcome. Now, somewhere in here also, there's a strange animal. Oh, it's over near Steve, isn't it? Just a minute. You don't often see a lion in a nativity, do you? You wouldn't expect to see a lion. Now, where's that little fluffy lamb? There he is. Oh, right. And you certainly wouldn't see a lion laying down next to a lamb, would you? But actually, in the prophet Isaiah, written about 700 years before Jesus, he says, the lion and the lamb will lie down together. Gosh, that he's looking forward to the new creation when God renews everything so there's no more any fighting or dying or pain. That's a wonderful kind of world to look forward to, which will happen one day. The lion will lie down with the lamb. Doesn't happen at the moment, does it, if we watch dynasties and things like that on the television. But in the Bible, Jesus is given several names. We were thinking about the names of Jesus last week. He is called the Lamb of God. Do you remember when Jesus came to his baptism, John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But he's also called the Lion of Judah, because he is from the tribe of Judah, like King David, that actually one day the Lion of Judah and the Lamb of God are the same person. So I think we can put down the Lion and the Lamb next to Jesus, because the conclusion of the story looks forward to that time when everything is brought under control and the whole of creation is restored to a new way of being. And we're going to be thinking about that next year in our Bible studies, about how God is going to, how God is working out his purposes in his creation and redemption. But for now, we come and we meet around this table, where these symbols remind us, the bread reminds us that this baby Jesus, when he was born and grew up, ultimately only 33 years old, and that's very young, isn't it? We all hope to live to a good old age, but Jesus, at 33 years old, he died on a cross and his body was broken. So this story of Christmas is tied very much with the story of Easter. We can't separate those two. They're like bookends, two ends of the story. And also, although Jesus escaped King Herod, because God's angels helped him to escape to Egypt until it was safe to come back to his hometown. Jesus died on the cross, and the blood that poured out, we do this to remember that Jesus died for us. So we can remember here today, Jesus Emmanuel, God is with us. We can remember that the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world is with us. And we can remember, too, that the Lion of Judah, the one who one day will roar like Aslan, you know, in the Narnia, that roar, and all of those wicked things will have to sort of cower and fear when the lion opens his mouth and roars. One day he will bring all things to their conclusion. Is that good news? Would you like to participate in that story? Well, you can. You can by simply just sharing bread and wine, but not only that, sharing our lives as we go away from here into our Christmas celebrations, knowing that Jesus is with us. So let's pray, and we can share this bread and wine in a very informal kind of way. But Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful story that we've all been participating in today. We thank you, Lord, that it's not simply a fairy story made up by someone, but it's a true record of what actually happened 2,000 years ago, that the Lion of Judah became the Lamb of God, that the Most High God became a tiny baby, Emmanuel, God with us, to be Jesus our Saviour. And we thank you and praise you for this story. But we thank you too that Jesus, who grew up, died on a cross for us to take away our sins, and then rose again to give us eternal life. So as we come, Lord, our hearts are full of thankfulness for all that you have done. We ask that you'll bless this bread and we'll bless this wine as we drink together and eat together, and as we participate in this most wonderful communion, fellowship, sharing in the gospel of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that our sins can be forgiven and we can come to this table with clean hands and a cleansed heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to take this bread now, and this bread is broken for you. Jesus did this just for you. If anybody here is allergic to gluten or bread, then just indicate to the stewards who are going to bring it round, and there is a separate loaf as well. So let's take. And what we do here is we simply take the bread and break a piece off, eat it as soon as we receive it, as a sign of our individual participation in this story. Praise be to you, Lord of creation, lying in a manger, Emmanuel, God with us. You who created the vine and the grape. Now we take this drink. Bless it, Lord, we pray, and may it be to us the lifeblood of Jesus, our Saviour and Messiah. So let's take the cups, and when everybody's been served, we will all drink together. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth that the bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? And the wine that we drink, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ and the life of Christ? So let's drink with thankful hearts as we participate in this most wonderful, real story. Lord, we thank you that this bread and this wine extend not just to those who are here, but to all that we know and love, and we pray that they will know the fellowship and the comfort of your presence this Christmas and into the new year. And now we are going to sing our final carol, and during this carol we'll take our offering for the work of God here, and that will be going round, and someone will come and collect up the cups. Maybe some of our young people could perhaps come and collect up the cups. While we're singing, joy to the world, the Lord has come. Verse again. Joy to the world, the Lord has come.